Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
What's going on, everybody? Happy Wednesday as we welcome you into the Lombardi Line presented by DraftKings. I'm Stormy Bonantoni alongside the birthday boy, Michael Lombardi. How are we doing today?
Stormy,
happy birthday.
Stop. We are great. As the great Tony Soprano once said, all we need is a few kind words when you get to my age. That's all you care about. But I appreciate it. Thank you very much. It was great. I got the best gift of all. I got my little granddaughter, 2.5. She sent me a video wishing me a happy birthday. That's the cherry on the cake. So I'm excited and I appreciate it. Thank you. It's good. It's good to be here another year, Stormy.
Yes, absolutely.
I never thought I'd make it to this one. I mean, this one's a lot. These are, you know, you start thinking for a while. You know, that Billy Joel song always resonates in your mind. We Didn't Start the Fire, where you start lining up all the events that have happened in your life. You know, it's like, whoa, wait a minute. This is way too much, you know?
You never thought you'd make it to 25, Michael? Come on.
Yeah, I wish I were 25. Yeah, I do.
No, I do.
But I enjoy it. You know, the great George Raveling told me 5 years ago, he said the greatest time of his life, and this is a man who got Nike to sign Michael Jordan, was when he turned 62 till he was 82. So I think, as Sinatra once said, the best is yet to come.
No question about it. That's awesome. And I'm happy that I get to be here to celebrate your birthday with you. Although I'm just impressed that you're working today at all. I would have said, okay, it's the birthday. I'm taking it off. No, thank you. Get rid of Stormy. I'm going to lay on the couch all day. Live the dream.
No,
I'm just proud of you for being here.
The only birthday in my house that's recognized really seriously is the whole month of January when it's Millie's birthday. I mean, just get out there and work. I mean, just go. Oh, this is your birthday. What's the big deal? You know?
So funny.
No, it's a big deal. Just go. So
you're too much. I'm glad that we can be happy for you. Meanwhile, I'm commiserating after what took place last night in the Stanley Cup final. But you know what? Good for our content, at least. Bad for my bankroll, but we'll see if we can rebuild here. It was such a good weekend betting that I guess all good things had to come to an end. The Florida Panthers, after I was telling you all day yesterday about how they were going to close it out and win their first Stanley Cup in franchise history on home ice, they ultimately lose game 5-3. Another over game in this series, by the way. After the first two games were unders, low scoring, we've seen three straight overs now as the Oilers seem to have really found their feet offensively. They are now the fourth team in NHL history down 3-0 in a cup final to extend the series to at least 6 games. They are the only team to do it on the road. And I'm not too thrilled, Michael, because now it feels like Edmonton is really live. And I'm curious your thoughts on this. Like, we say there's no momentum like momentum. If Edmonton's really starting to gain some confidence, if they're getting in this goaltender's head, that's a dangerous game Florida's playing with.
Well, I mean, Connor McDavid, look, you know, when you have an elite player like him, and, you know, he's got 42 points in these playoff series, correct? Mm-hmm. And it's the fourth best total. And he's within reach of a name that you usually don't speak about, other players. Wayne Gretzky's all-time 47. And so when you have a player of this caliber that's playing so well, anything can happen. And as long as the team around him recognizes it. You know, it's one of the things I think that made the Celtics the best winning record in the NBA during the regular season, only losing 3 games during the postseason, is their ability to be aware. Who are the guys? Who's going to get the ball? How many times have we watched games where the game's on the line and the wrong guy's taking the shot? I think, obviously, Edmonton knows it. They're self-aware. The Celtics certainly did. And when you get a player who's great and hot, watch out.
And it's scary when you have a guy who's nicknamed McJesus getting hot. Like, they don't call him that for nothing. It's unbelievable. You'd mentioned the 42 points in 23 games. That means he's factored in on more than half of the total goals that have been scored for Edmonton in the postseason to this point. That's unbelievable. He factored into 4 of the 5 goals for them last night. 2 goals, 2 assists. First player in Cup history with 4 points in back-to-back games. His 8 points, also the most ever in a 2-game span. And to better demonstrate, too, how good he has been in this short term, McDavid, 3 goals, 5 assists those 2 games. The Florida Panthers as a team, 4 goals and 6 assists. So the pressure is certainly on Florida now, who has to go up to Edmonton, another 9-hour trip, which I feel bad. Like, if I was them, I wouldn't have wanted to do that. But here we are in a spot where Edmonton is now a favorite again. So they're minus, they were minus 118. They've already been bet up to minus 125. In the series, the Panthers were as high as minus 2,500, up 3 games to none. They are still odds on at minus 350, but Edmonton feels very live now at plus 275 if they win at home like they're favored to do so in front of that deafening crowd. It's anybody's game when you get to a game seven. And quickly to go back to Connor McDavid, because yesterday when Will Hill was on the program and he was asking me about the thought process of Connor McDavid for Conn Smythe. And I said, I don't really buy into that very much as a skater winning on the losing team, especially considering I was coming at it from the approach that Florida was going to win last night, right? That Florida was going to close things out yesterday. Mm-hmm. Now he's an odds on minus 150 favorite to win Conn Smythe because of all the historic numbers that we've already put out there and the names that he's being compared to in Gretzky and Mario Lemieux. And he's minus 150 for he was plus 750 going into the game last night. And let's say Florida does go on to still win this thing, Michael. I don't know where to go for Florida at this point because you can't give it to Sergei Bobrovsky with all the goals he's given up. Alexander Barkov, a big part of the conversation around him wasn't only his point production, but the defensive effort that he was putting on Connor McDavid in that line. That's also out the window. I feel like you just put a Florida player on a dartboard and throw and see what name you land on at this point and get a 50-1, 200-1 value. I don't know what to do here for Florida.
Right. So, you know, Edmonton is what to win the series? What's their value? Right now we know that the Panthers are minus 350, which let's play this out. Let's just assume for a second here that Edmonton wins game six. And now we get winner take all in game seven. What will that it be? 110 on each side, do you think? I mean, what would that be? The Oilers price, if you think the Oilers can win two in a row, you got to jump on this 275.
Yeah.
Because this is the last time you're going to see it, right? This is it. It's over. It's going to go back down to probably, what, minus 110 for the Panthers, the home team, and plus 110 for the visiting team?
I would say in that wheel. I mean, Panthers at home have been priced largely around that minus 135. I mean, yesterday they were minus 135 up to minus 162. But depending on how much is played into the Oilers' momentum, again, as we say, and the fact that they were able to win in Sunrise this past game, I don't know exactly what that number would be. I would imagine it would open between like the minus 120, minus 135 on Florida, but I don't know.
Okay.
It's I just think, again, it's only happened once in NHL Stanley Cup history that a team has come back from down 3 games to none. I know in the NBA, we've never seen it. In the NHL, we saw it once. It was the Maple Leafs in 1942. Okay, this does not happen. And we talk about Conn Smythe, a skater winning. It's another thing that does not happen. Of the five players who have won Conn Smythe on the losing team, four were goalies. The lone skater was Reggie Leach of the Flyers in 1976. So it's more than, you know, it doesn't happen. And the last goalie even that did it was more than two decades ago. But Conn Smythe, McDavid right now, minus 150. Alexander Barkov, plus 230. Bobrovsky, plus 550. Tkachuk there at 50-1. I would say if you're looking for a Flyer, throw it on him because he's at least provided some excitement and some big moments yesterday, despite not being able to get the win. I know you're sick of talking hockey, so we can move on here. We'll talk a little bit more about it later on.
I love it. I mean, we got games. I mean, Stormy, look, we're in the dark ages, right?
We got content.
When I was at the military academy, once you went – yeah, we're going to run out of these moments. And when a great player, whether it's in hockey, whether it's in basketball, baseball, when a great player shows great skill, you got to appreciate it no matter what sport you're in. You really have. All right. So I watched the highlights of McDavid. Yeah. And, you know, you just marvel at it. Then you want to understand where he came from, how he got there. I think that's really important if you're going to be in the personnel world, is to understand how players become great.
Yeah. And he is as special as they come right now. It's been fun to watch, as annoying as it is for my bets, because I do still need Florida in the series regardless. So we'll see how things shake out. We'll talk about this series a little bit more later on this hour. Harry Gagnon, former sportsbook supervisor, host of the Against All Odds podcast, he's going to give us his thoughts as well as some plays in Major League Baseball, among other things. Then in hour two, Jay Morrison, Bengals beat reporter for Pro Football Network, is going to stop by, as well as Jeff Shorts, Fox Sports and SiriusXM NFL college football analyst. He also does a lot of betting content. So so we'll get his thoughts on some futures and win totals in college football and the NFL. Last couple minutes here, I wanted to talk to you about a large firing in the NBA that took place. The Pistons letting go of Monty Williams, Michael, after just one season, when they signed him to a historic six-year, $78 million contract, biggest contract ever. They don't even give him 2 years. And I know it was a brutal season, but how surprised were you, or what did you take away from this firing?
Not at all. I don't think the Pistons went into this season. First of all, Troy Weaver, the general manager, got fired too, right? So this has been a true take, a true we're going to tear it down. But I think the plan was to hire Monty, pay him a lot of money, understand he had job security, but really work with young players and get young players and connect with the team. Player development, right? We've got a lot of good young kids, Isaiah Stewart. You know, we've got some guys that can really, you know, help out, and we can grow and develop. But when that didn't occur, all of a sudden you're like, wait a minute, what are we paying all this money for? And you got to applaud the Pistons for doing this, because I think at the end of the day, you know, they realized it wasn't going to work. And instead of trying to have a sunk cost fallacy, which is believe it's going to work, they said, we're out. This is it. We'll pay this bill. You know, he had $20 million coming from the Suns. I don't know if he had offset language in his Pistons contract, which would alleviated the Suns. But at some point, you know, he just hasn't been able to develop. Look, the key is to develop the talent, to make the talent better. That's what Coach Bud's going to have to do in Phoenix. He's going to have to make the other three players around Booker, Garnett, and Beal better. And when you take over the Pistons, nobody's looking for them to win 50, but they're looking for the players to get better. That wasn't the case.
Yeah, this is a team you're making money if you're fading them. NBA record 28-game regular season losing streak. They finished with a league-worst 14-68 mark. I do have a follow-up question for you about this that we can hit on the other side of the break, as well as continuing our Michael Lombardi's summer school series in the NFL. We'll be right back.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
If you like watching and listening to VSiN, the sports betting network, don't forget about all the great betting tools and content available at VSiN.com. We've got best bets from hosts and guests, betting splits, pro tips, trends, and betting news. The Stanley Cup Final is extended, and even in the dog days of summer, you can find daily betting previews for games in Major League Baseball and the WNBA, as well as Euro soccer and tennis. Plus, right now on the homepage, our own Mike Somich is looking ahead to the NFL season with a starter's guide to creating your own power rankings. Which categories are most important to include first? Mike has the answers right now at vsin.com. Alongside Michael Lombardi, Stormy Bonantoni with you as we welcome you back to the Lombardi Line. We closed out the first segment talking about Monty Williams getting fired from the Detroit Pistons. He was hired last offseason to a then unprecedented six-year, $78.5 million contract. Last just 1 year, the season was a disaster. And you said, credit the Pistons for cutting bait when something wasn't working and the development wasn't happening. But as somebody who's a former general manager, Michael, like, you've had to make a lot of really tough decisions. When there's that type of money still left on the table, like, they owe him over $60 million, how much tougher does it make that question and saying, okay, we have to move on. This really isn't working. It's that bad. What does that say about the situation?
Well, it says the owner's willing to step up, right? And I think that's pretty clear that he's willing to step up, right? This isn't a hard decision on the basketball front. This really became a business decision. Monty wasn't doing a very good job. That was clear, right? If Monty was making $1 million, he would have been fired the day after the season. The reason Monty wasn't fired the day after the season is because he had all this coming to him. And so you had to kind of do a dissection of, can he change? Will the players listen? Is this repairable? Is it repairable for 6 months? Are we just wasting more money? What are we doing? And I think the owner, Tom Gosser, just basically gave them the permission. He fired the general manager, Troy Weaver, who started this thing. Now, remember, Alvin Gentry's still there. He was the head coach at one time. I think he's still in the front office. I think that's really important, because I think when you look at it, somebody needs to be advising the owner, and whether it's Alvin Gentry or not, which is what I believe is to be true. But it, on the basketball side, it's not a hard. It becomes down to the economic side. Do we fire this guy? He deserves to be fired. because he did a horrible job. And, you know, Cade Cunningham's not getting better. The Thompson brother, one of the Thompson brothers, they pick him the fifth pick overall in the draft. Is he making improvement? See, this is where I think we lose sight of it, especially in the NBA. Are the players getting better, right? What Oklahoma City did with their rebuild was we're taking contracts, we're rebuilding, we have player development completely in line. We're going to get our players and make them better. We're going to draft guys. We're not worried about winning, but we're going to make our players better. And we're going to teach them how to become professionals and not amateurs. What the 76ers did was just tear it down, let's lose, and we'll figure out once everybody gets here how to win. Doesn't work. And I think it's the same thing in Detroit. They need somebody to come in there, a young coach who's going to connect with the players, who's going to make them better, who's going to make them better because they have to improve. They've got young talent that needs to improve. Cade Cunningham, just because he gets picked wherever he got picked, second pick, first pick overall in the draft, you know, that doesn't necessarily guarantee you're going to be good. I mean, they've got Jaden Ivey, fifth pick overall in the draft. Thompson, fifth pick overall. The number one pick. They have three. So let's go back to it. Under the whole disguise of you have to have high picks to win in the NBA, the Pistons have three top five picks. They can't win anything.
Three top five picks and an expensive coach.
So
and
it's
a complete fallacy. Yeah, they lost more games this past year than they did the year before.
Exactly. So, I mean, it was not a basketball decision. That was the easy part. The hard part was paying out the money.
Yeah, and at least we don't have to worry about that here. You know, we're good. No payouts here, thankfully. Some other teams that are trying to get better around the National Football League as we switch gears here back to Lombardi Summer School, which is in session. This is a series that we've been doing every day, dating back to last week with all of the teams now being done with their mandatory mini camp. They're taking this handful, 5-6 weeks off before returning to training camp in late July. And there are a lot of teams that you've been giving assignments out to, things they need to improve on or get set for before they put the pads on at training camp. So let's start our summer school session today with the Los Angeles Rams, who I think surprised a lot of people last year with the way they were able to make the postseason. Their win total this year sitting at 8.5. Could be competitive in the NFC West this season once again. What's the assignment that you are giving this team led by Sean McVay and Matthew Stafford?
Well, I think the number one assignment is what are we going to do with Matthew Stafford? Because we tried to trade him last year, would have taken pretty much anything to get away from the contract that was due to become skill and injury guaranteed. We didn't trade him. They deny they were trying to trade him. It's a crock of crap. They were trying to trade him. I could tell you three teams they were trying to trade him to. So that's what they want. And for reasons that were not because they don't think Stafford was a good player. This is really important. They were not trying to dump Stafford because they thought, well, you know, he's not as good as we thought. They were trying to dump him because the money was so enormous and the elbow was a concern. They weren't sure he was going to be able to throw the football again. They really weren't. And nobody, the reason nobody bit on the trade offer is because they weren't sure he was going to trade. He was going to hold up, right? But he wants a new contract. And that new contract puts the Rams right back in the same tough spot they were in before, which is, do we extend a guy that we're worried about his elbow? Now, here's what we do know. When they went to Green Bay without a quarterback, they got killed. Even with Aaron Donald on the team. So they need the quarterback. He has them. He has them completely. Stetson Bennett isn't going to scare anybody. Yeah. And for all the greatness of Sean McVay, let's be clear here, for all the greatness as a coach, Sean McVay has never developed a quarterback. He got Goff to play better, no question. Stafford played at a high level. But there's no young guy that he took in the fifth round like Brock Purdy in the seventh round that Kyle's done. So this is all going to be predicated on how are we going to fix it? And I think that's the summer school for them is, are they going to do something with the quarterback? Once we get past that, they got to pray. They can stay healthy. And are they good enough up front? Because when you take Aaron Donald out, all of a sudden the double teams are no longer going to one guy. They can go all over the place.
Yep, and that's going to be a rude awakening for some of those players on defense, so get ready. They are an even money shot to make the postseason for a second straight year. Let's stay in Los Angeles. The Chargers have a new head coach in Jim Harbaugh. Yes, we know they lost some key pieces, but they have gained a new mentality. This is a group that you know is going to run the football. They're going to be physical. They're going to come with aggression and a different mindset with their new head coach. What's priority number one for this team as they get set for training camp?
Well, I think it's all about just a mentality, right? They're going to try to run the ball. I thought it was interesting. Austin Eckler came out and said why he's not at the Chargers. He said because they want somebody to carry the mail 30 times. That's Jim. Now, you say, well, that won't work in the NFL. Well, that probably won't work in the NFL, but it will work with Justin Herbert where we're taking some of the pressure off him, which I think is really critical. Right, I think they need to take some of the pressure off Herbert. They need to improve their offensive line. They need to improve their defensive line. To me, the trenches are where their summer school is all about. Their mental toughness. Herbert's gonna excel throwing less, not throwing more.
The Chargers with Justin Herbert have only made the postseason once, and of course it was that game at Jacksonville where they had a massive lead and ultimately ended up losing by one with a second half collapse. Let's hit another one here. The New England Patriots, who, yes, struggled last year to the point where they have a new head coach in Gerard Mayo, a quarterback, questionable situation. Will we see Drake May? Won't we? Jacoby Brissett likely going to be the starter there. And the toughest schedule in all of football right now on paper, Michael. What's their priorities here this offseason?
Well, they got to develop Drake May, and they've got to have a good plan for Drake May, and they can't panic off the plan. That's one. Two, they've got to get the offensive line, because it doesn't matter if Jacoby Brissett plays or if Drake May plays. If they don't fix this offensive line, which is limited at left tackle badly, they're going to have a hard time. And I think that's going to be the key, right? They are tackle poor at this point right now. The starting right tackle that they signed this offseason from Michigan, who typically plays guard, was so heavy this offseason. I think he was almost 400 pounds. They had to move him into guard. And so that's a concern. They don't have a right tackle. He needs to get in shape, but they paid him. They knew he would be out of shape if they paid him, and he was. So I think that the assignment is we got to get this offensive line. And then we all have to recognize that there was a reason they were good on defense. And DeMarcus Covington, the new defense coordinator, he's going to have to be able to handle that. And that assignment of replacing the greatest coach of all time as the defensive coordinator, I think that's going to be a big challenge. Now, they've cut down the playbook defensively. But last year, they could have won seven games with their defense alone if the kicker would have made some kicks and the quarterback would have protected the ball.
Yeah, won just four games a season ago. Win total this year set at 4.5. Can they win 5? It is juice to the over at -160. We're going to take a quick timeout here. When we come back, Harry Gagnon is going to stop by. We'll get his thoughts on the Cup Final, as well as MLB picks for the day. Death, taxes, and overs in this ballpark. Will the trend continue coming up tonight? We'll get to that and a whole lot more. Stay with us right here on the Lombardi Line. This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Get excited. We're just over a week away from releasing the VSiN NFL Betting Guide, your ultimate resource for all things football season, packed with detailed team, division, and conference analysis, and of course, best bets for the upcoming season. To get the guide, though, you must be a VSiN Pro subscriber, and right now, you can sign up for a VSiN Pro annual subscription for just $199, down from our usual $240 price. Plus, we're throwing in an extra month absolutely free when you use our promo code LombardiLine. With a VSiN Pro subscription, you get exclusive access to premium analysis, expert picks, and advanced betting tools that'll give you an upper hand all year long. Don't miss out, though. This is a limited time deal. Sign up and save ahead of the NFL season by visiting vsin.com/subscribe now. And again, use that promo code Lombardi to claim your discount and bonus month. Play more NFL conversation here in hour two of the Lombardi Line alongside Michael Lombardi. Stormy Bonantoni with you as we welcome to the show Bengals beat reporter for Pro Football Network, Jay Morrison, on the Progressive guest line. You can follow him on X at @ByJayMorrison. And listen, there are a lot of angles and things that we need to get into as it pertains to Cincinnati, but I'm going to start with something that's a little bit off the wall. First of all, love in your bio that you're a fellow Arby's super fan. I want to thank you for being loud and proud because they do not get the respect they deserve. And I couldn't help but notice that you left Skyline Chili out of the bio. What is the truth, Jay Morrison, about Skyline Chili? I need to know.
It's delicious. I love it. But there's two in Cincinnati. There's Gold Star, there's Skyline. You find a lot of people that take sides. I don't take sides. I think they're both delicious. I hit them equally as often.
Well played. That was very.
Is it as good as Chili John's is in Green Bay?
Well, I've not had John's. It's not your typical chili. I'm sure you guys have heard. It's got a cinnamony taste to it. It's thinner and runny. And I get it where people that aren't used to it don't like it. But you know, living here, growing up here, you just kind of raised on it, and it's an acquired taste for some, just like beer. A lot of people don't like beer on first taste, but the more you consume it, the more you like it.
There you go. It all comes together. Well, none of us are going to be particularly healthy while we're consuming chili. Joe Burrow's health is more so the question that we are asking ourselves when it comes to Cincinnati. And that wrist, based on what you've seen from OTA's mandatory minicamp, the way that Joe Burrow has talked about it, what's your understanding of where he sits right now from a health standpoint and coming back this season?
I think he's right where he wants to. Let me rephrase that. He's right where the team wants him to be. I think he wants to be further ahead. The players always want to just get the rehab over and get it done. He was always pointing towards May as the time to get back and really start letting it rip and start throwing. And he did. He looked terrific early on once he started hitting the field for OTA practices. And then, you know, something changed a little bit. The last week, of OTAs, the week of mini camp, it wasn't the same Joe Burrow. And that doesn't mean he had a setback. He's been open and honest about being smarter this time with the injury. He feels like he tried to push through the calf and it ended up costing him. I mean, it really kind of derailed the season. And if he's feeling the slightest discomfort in the wrist, rather than shutting it down, he still went through mini camp and still went through the install and was out there for the team. But it was just a noticeable difference in how he was throwing the ball and how Jake Browning was throwing the ball. So I think sometimes we forget where the process that rehab is. So he said it, you know, just September 8th, that's the target in his mind. That's when he wants to be fully healthy. I don't know that it's a setback. He's just kind of being cautious and not really letting the ball go the way that we're used to seeing or the way we saw him doing early on when he first hit the field.
So the offensive line has always been a concern, and they spent a lot of money. They signed Trent Brown to a make-it contract, kind of put the carrot in front of them. They draft Amarius Mims in the first round. Who will be the starting right tackle, and is Trent Brown in any kind of shape to compete for the job?
He's a big man. It's hard to tell when there's that much girth if he's in shape or not. I don't know. We'll see how he comes back after the break. I mean, I think he's the front runner. He's going to be given every chance to win that job. Ideally, they'd like for Amarius Mims to kind of do some on the job training and be there as an insurance piece. But you know, he skipped the entire. Not the entire, but a large chunk of the on-field work, the voluntary portion. He came back for mandatory minicamp. He said he had some family issues he had to take care of, but that just gave Amarius more time to get ingrained in the offense, and he's been following Orlando Brown Jr. at the hip, just doing everything he does, listening to him. I think it's going to be a heck of a battle. I think it's wide open in camp, and we'll see. And then we'll see what happens if, you know, Trent Brown's kind of got that reputation as a little bit of a mercurial guy, and how will he react if he doesn't win that job? It's a very affordable contract, you know, just $4.5 million. So Amarius Mims could beat him out. If I'm guessing, I think it's probably going to be Trent Brown to start the season, but I'd be surprised if we don't see Amarius Mims starting before the end of the year.
Jay Morrison, Bengals beat writer, joining us on the Progressive Guest Line. Let's talk about wide receiver contracts a little bit. What led to T. Higgins ultimately signing his franchise tender, and any news on the Ja'Marr Chase contract while we have you?
Yeah, nothing new on the Ja'Marr Chase contract. I'd be surprised if they get it done before training camp or before training camp or before even before the regular season this year. it would make sense for him to kind of play it out. He's in a little bit different situation. They've already picked up the fifth year option, so he's under contract this year and next year. And he wants to go over Justin Jefferson. And I think the Bengals will be able to get that done in terms of average annual value, go a little bit over 35 per year. I don't know that he's going to get the $110 million guarantee that Justin Jefferson got. It's just not the way the Bengals do business, and makes sense for Jamar to play this out and see if he can have one more stellar year and then have some more firepower to try to get some more of that guaranteed money and maybe go even a little bit higher than Justin did. T. Higgins, it was a bit of a surprise. I really thought this was going to follow the same path that Jesse Bates, the safety, 2 years ago did. Both of them represented by the same agent, David Mulgeta. Jesse sat out everything and then came back two days after the second preseason game. And it just kind of felt like that was a template. That's how T. was going to handle it. And for him to sign this early and make a commitment to be there for the start of OTAs, I think is great news for Bengals fans. You know, last year, Joe Burrow wasn't developing time in camp with T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase and the rest of the guys. He had the calf injury, and then 2 years ago he had the appendectomy. In 2020, it was COVID, and everything was pushed back. So this is really going to be the first time in quite a while that Burrow's been out there with all of his weapons and gotten everybody together for the start of camp and go all the way through camp. So big news for T. Higgins. He's not going to ruffle any feathers. He's going to come in and try to have a great year. He's going to get paid one way or another in 2025, and it just seems like everybody's committed this year to making the big run at the Super Bowl. I'm not saying the Bengals window is going to close after this year, but it's never going to be wider open than it is right now.
Yeah, and a lot of this is going to come down to, can they play defense the way they have in the past? And last year we saw them with two young safeties struggle with communication, and certainly it drove Lou Amoromo crazy. This year, watching practices, Jay, what's your sense of the defense, and how much of an impact has Geno Stone made in the return of Von Bell?
Yeah, it's been huge. We actually just had Lou on our podcast this morning, and he talked about it too, just the knowledge those guys bring, just the football intelligence. For Geno, it's raw. For Vaughn, it's there, and it's familiarity with the system after just 1 year away. Not a lot has changed. And, you know, it looked like Jordan Battle, the rookie third-round pick last year, was really kind of getting things going, and he started from week 11 on, and it felt like he was going to be the starter this year, but he was still a young guy. He didn't have a veteran to learn under. And now you bring in Geno Stone and Von Bell, and it kind of sets Von Bell back. And you know, Lou said, no, this is the best thing that could possibly happen to Jordan Battle. So it's going to be interesting to see. I think it might be an Amarius Mims, Trent Brown situation where Von's going to come in here, get everybody set, get everybody on the same page. But he is a little older, and Jordan Battle is young, and they've got a high pick invested in him. And it wouldn't surprise me if once everybody's on the same page and all those busted coverages and protection errors and all those things are out of the way, maybe Jordan Battle kind of ascends into that starting role some point in midseason, and Von Bell takes a little bit of a backseat.
Jay, we've only got about 30 seconds left. We know what odds makers have put the win total at for Cincinnati this year, but if you had to set a number, your expectations based on what you've learned about the team to this point and looking at the schedule, how many wins do you think this team is capable of?
I think 12 is realistic. You look at that schedule, there's no reason they shouldn't be 3-1 out of the gate, and possibly 4-0. I mean, I know it's crazy to say with a trip to Kansas City on there, but that's when you want to get the Chiefs, is early in the year. And this team is a track record of starting slow and then really kind of finding their way and finishing strong. So if they can keep that strong finish part of it in play and actually get off to a good start for the first time in a long time, yeah, I think 12's in play.
Jay, we so appreciate your time. Thanks so much for the insight.
Great job.
All right, thanks for having me on,
Jay.
Jay Morrison, follow him at By Jay Morrison on X. Again, win total for the Bengals, 10.5. He thinks 12 is in play. Those opening four games against New England, at Kansas City, versus Washington on Monday Night Football, and at Carolina. We'll be right back.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Remember, on the Lombardi Line, as well as every show here at VSiN, the sports betting network, you get pro tips throughout the course of the show, but we make sure that we put it in a centralized spot for you on the website at VSiN.com as well. You can search it by sport and by show if you're looking for something specific. But as we round out this Wednesday edition of the Lombardi Line, it's time for our pro tip of the day. And it's one of these things where I've got to take a sip of my own medicine here, Michael, and just remember, I am heavily invested on the Florida Panthers in the Stanley Cup final. I need to relax okay. for a second. And not actively chase.
Relax. Everybody calm down. Everybody calm down. Stormy's going to be okay. Everybody calm down. It's going to be good, right?
We shall see. But I think that it's good to remind people, especially because here at VSiN, we want to express best practices. We want to share the importance of bankroll management, right? And I was adamant about the Florida Panthers winning the series. I'm invested in them in a series bet. I bet them hard yesterday, and I just need to take a moment and say my handicap right now is not going the way that I thought this series was going to go. Sometimes the best bet is no bet at all. I'm going to step back. I'm going to cut my losses mm-hmm. for a second. Maybe after game six, I'll have a better read on things. I'll still share my opinions, but I don't have a bet right now on game six. I don't think that I'm going to put something down on it. I'm just going to play out my series wager and see what happens from there. But I know it's hard because we see something happen. We want to make sure that we're getting back on the right side of a series. We want to be cashing tickets and winning money. But if things aren't going your way, it's okay to take a step back and say, I'm going to pause for a moment.
You can't force it. And I think sometimes you're better off just really collecting more information. There's a great line that says wisdom comes later. Wisdom will come later if you let it happen.
Well, prayers up for your girl. VSiN pro tips, again, available at VSiN.com.
I always am praying.
Love you. Love you. We're going to wrap things up here, having a little bit of fun like we always do on a Wednesday. Let's roll that open for Why Not Wednesday.
Question. Maybe a stupid one, but I'm just spitballing here.
Can it make you say why not?
That wasn't a stupid question.
It's time for Why Not Wednesday.
I mean, why not?
You know when they say it's so crazy it just might work?
Doesn't that music just get you going? Okay, we're throwing some long shot and plus money props at Michael. See if we can get him to turn his head and say, why not? Starting with Trevor Lawrence, who just signed a big money deal last week. Could you say why not to Lawrence taking a step in 2024-25 to lead the NFL in passing? The price is 25-1.
No way. Here's why.
Oh.
Okay. If he's leading the league in passing, he's not going to make it through the season. He's going to get killed. He needs to have a balanced attack. He needs to have a play-action pass game and a run game, something more than just Travis Etienne, who's fabulous. So for me, this is about balance for him. He's not going to carry a team, even though they paid him like he will.
And if he didn't have the 21 turnovers, who knows where all of those other passing yards could have gone. But okay, no shot on the 25-1. If not T-Law, what about Joey B? Could he lead the Bengals to be the NFL's highest scoring team this coming season? The price set at 15-1. Could you say why not?
I could say why not to that. Look, I think that other than the right tackle position, this Bengal team is good. I know Zach Moss isn't, you know, in people's evaluation as good as Joe Mixon, but he played better than Joe Mixon last year for Indianapolis. So I do think they can be as explosive as anybody. And if he pays 17 games, they can score a lot of points. I mean, look, we saw Jake Browning do some really good things for them, you know, what they did last year. I know they finished 16th in points scored last year with Jake Browning. Think about it.
Any impact with Callahan now moving on to a head coaching gig, or no, it's Zach Taylor's offense anyways, it's fine?
I think it's fine, you know, because Zach called the plays anyway. And I'm not dismissing what Brian did, but I do think that Zach called the plays. He's the offensive coordinator. The big challenge for Cincy is what we had with Jay on earlier this hour, where we talked about their defense, 31 in yards allowed. They were 32nd in pass defense in terms of yards per attempt against them, 28th in yards, you know, and they couldn't stop the run. They gave up 30. They were 30th in the league in yards per attempt. They've got to improve in that area tremendously, and they can with the new defensive players.
Yesterday here on the Lombardi Line, we showed our audience the clip from this past Friday at Game 4 of the NBA Finals, where Joel Embiid was up on the stage on ESPN Paul George was next to him, and he gave Paul George that little side eye. Eyes were big when he was talking about adding pieces to the 76ers. Could you say why not? On a plus 280 bet $100 to win 280 on Paul George to head to Philly.
Oh, it's an easy why not. I mean, you know they're going to sign him. They'll overpay him. And then they'll wonder why he misses 45 games. And Boston will win Boston will be 8 games ahead of him. And Embiid will be talking about, you want me to go through the whole thing for you? You know, they'll be, oh, we're in great. This is the best team. This is the best players I've had around us. Look, the most active team this summer will be the 76ers because they really only have, you know, Maxey's a restricted free agent. They have Paul Reed, who they could opt out of. There's no guaranteed money. And then they have Embiid. So they only have 2 players currently. Ricky Council's under contract, and so is Jeff Doughton. But other than that, that's all they have. So, you know, they're going to be – they have a bunch of cap room. They're gonna, and nobody likes to sign older, declining players more than Daryl Morey. Nobody does. He specializes in it. He loves it, enjoys it. He loves it, and it drives me crazy. I need another team. God dang it. I need another. I can't live like this, Stormy. I'm sitting here complaining. I can't live like this.
Tale is all this time for Daryl Morey. And I shout out producer Elliot for throwing that in there. Always keeping it fun there with the Michael Lombardi content.
He knows how to just irritate me on my birthday, too. He's irritated.
Yeah,
I was trying to be happy. I mean, God, Elliot. I mean, look, they're going to sign. They're going to sign Paul George. They'll sign just a bunch of trade away the 16th pick. Because who would we pick? We wouldn't know who to pick. God knows we hate draft picks.
Yeah, let's not go down the draft road because I know that that's a wound that's open and going to be open for a long time when it comes to the 76ers. How about the Boston Celtics? They are plus 290 to defend their NBA title. Oh. Could you say why not? I mean, they started as a favorite and won as a favorite.
Hell yeah.
Okay.
I would take it
plus
at 190. I would take it at plus one. I mean, that's good money. Why not? You'd take this too, wouldn't you?
Huh? Not a plus 290. I mean, come on, man. We got to shop around. We got to look for some better numbers for an NBA title. I believe that this is the beginning of the future
money,
for the Celtics,
I mean,
but come on, man.
But they bring their whole team back, Stormy. I think Derek White's a free agent, right? I mean, he's the only guy. But I think the real fair question is, will they be willing to go over the cap? I mean, they've paid the luxury tax 2 years in a row now. And so they're going to have to figure that out. I do think Derek White, yes, he's a free. No, not until 2025 he's a free agent. They have him one more year. I don't know. And I love Jordan Walsh, who they drafted. That's called a draft pick, the kid from Arkansas. Watch him play better next year.
All right.
These are draft picks. All right, Philly, that's foreign to them. Well, let's trade him Markelle Fultz. Let's trade for him.
Well, okay, if we're going to buy in on Boston, let's come at this from a different angle. If I'm making a bet in June for the NBA, Michael, and it wasn't for the NBA Finals, but for
you
next year, I want better than plus 290. So, could you say why not?
I got that. I understand it.
Could you say why not to this one? Jason Tatum, then, to win MVP this coming season. That's 16-1. Could we get on board and say why not to that maybe instead?
I'll get on the Celtics ship. Whatever ship you want me to get on, I'll get on. Anything Celtics, you can have me on that ship. I will. Who's their competition? Elliot's right. The Pacers are really the only. Who's going to beat them? Miami's in a flux. I mean, Butler won't play. Of course, we'll probably trade for Butler 2 years too late. You know, I mean, why wouldn't we?
The Pacers, as Harry Gagnon showed us earlier today, he placed a 50-1 ticket already on Indiana for next year. So throw that out. That's the number there. The British Open, Rory McIlroy, Michael, could you say why not? No, oh, okay. That's a no. 7-1? No, nothing?
Mm. No, I to me the demons of that three putts are gonna haunt him. You know, I mean he's gonna need some time.
He's taking the month off.
I think, but you see, that's the thing. You don't want to take the month off. You want to take the time to go through and make those, get more confidence to make them. Taking the time off just delays the reaction to dealing with what you have to deal with. Like, I would have told Rory, get your butt up there. Was it? They're playing in Canada this week. Go up there and play. You know, we need reps. We need to be able to, you know, we need to write a new song. We can't just live off that one. We got to write a new album out here. And we got to get 3-footers in front of us that we have to make in pressure situations. What? You can go back to your backyard and make all the 3-footers you want. You got to be under pressure with people watching. Now you take a month off, you think all of a sudden the yips aren't coming back? I mean, you remember Chuck Knobloch, who couldn't throw the ball to second base? How many days did he take off?
Maybe he should just transition to NASCAR or F1 with how quickly he got that car out of there. Maybe he's got a second career. Who knows?
No doubt. He looked like Jim Rockford racing around in the corner. I was so proud.
Michael,
Rockford probably was upset with him.
Enjoy the rest of your birthday. Stop working for the rest of the day, okay?
Thank you, Stormy. Have a great day. You're the best.
See ya.